us. She's going to read from John's Gospels. You've got the little blue Gospel there on your table, so if you dish those out. Just before Kazumi reads, let me explain. There's a technical phrase in the reading, and the technical phrase is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God refers, it's a sort of Bible shorthand for God's rule. It speaks of God's rule experienced now through knowing God and enjoying a close relationship with God today. And the kingdom of God speaks about God's rule expressed and experienced for eternity at the end of this age when we enjoy God's perfect new creation. Let me say, the phrase the kingdom of God is resoundingly positive and gloriously exciting. In fact, we're going to see tomorrow night that some of the language associated with the kingdom of God is the language of a wedding banquet, with the idea in God's kingdom at the end of this age of everything that spoils this age removed, of perfect, broken relationship, of fulfilled potential, of knowing God and being known by God. So the kingdom of God, God's rule, experienced now and experienced in eternity. Now, Kazumi, perhaps you'd come and read for us, or read from there, wherever you're going to read from. And it's page 7, and the heading that says, Jesus knows what is in man, at the bottom of page 7, second paragraph up from the bottom.
Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Kazumi, thank you very much indeed. Now, once we've understood what the kingdom of God is, that is, experiencing the rule of God in Jesus Christ, I guess the other thing that stands out most strikingly is this phrase, born again. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Being born again, says Jesus, is essential if we are to be accepted by God. Now, straight away, I realise that in choosing to speak on this passage, I've adopted a somewhat high-risk strategy. I was speaking on the subject, same subject, some while ago now, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, when I heard you mention that phrase, born again, I thought I'd arrived at the wild and wacky side of religious fundamentalism. Words to that effect. I think he was slightly ruder, actually. And that's the trouble with the phrase being born again. If it hasn't been hijacked by the car manufacturers or the facelift people, then it's used to speak of things that we think, whoa, I don't want to be involved in that. So it is a high-risk strategy. But I believe it's a risk worth taking, because being born again according to Jesus is absolutely essential if we're going to be part of God's kingdom, enjoying his rule both now and forever. Just look at sentence 3 there. You'll see back over the page. No, there it is. Jesus said to him, top of page 8, Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here is something that is absolutely necessary, according to Jesus, to be born again. And then sentence number 5, Jesus says, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here is something that is absolutely essential, according to Jesus, to be born again. And then again at verse 7, where Jesus says, you must be born again. Here is something that cannot be done without, according to Jesus. And the point of the language of the new birth is to insist to us that if we're going to have anything to do with the rule of God and enjoying his perfect rule forever, we need a whole new, fresh start. Every one of us. And I like to put it like this. First of all, it will take a miracle if you are going to be able to see the kingdom of God. And it will take a miracle if I am going to be able to enter the kingdom of God. A whole fresh start. Now, I have a friend who claims he can actually remember being born. Which actually doesn't bear thinking about at dinner, does it? I'm sorry, I mean, it's bad enough remembering seeing my children be born. I mean, I was flat on my back on the floor, actually, if I remember rightly, or something like that. I gather it was a... Anyway, let's not go into that over dinner. But this guy says he can actually remember being born. So I've asked him with this in mind on a number of occasions, was there any point in any stage of the entire process when you thought to yourself, I think I'll give the old girl a hand? And the answer is, of course not. Your birth was something to which you contributed absolutely nothing. Indeed, there was not a single point in the process of your birth or in the process of your conception when you lent a hand to any of the participants. It required the energetic action of somebody else on my behalf to bring me to new birth. And that's Jesus' point to this guy Nicodemus. You need a whole fresh start, a new beginning, a new life from God, which only he can bring, to which you cannot contribute anything if you are going to see God's kingdom. We need a miracle if we're going to get in. So how good is good enough for God? How good do you have to be good enough for God? Answer, you haven't got a hope, and nor have I. We need a miracle if we're going to enter into relationship with the living God and have any part of his eternal kingdom. But then if the picture of new birth, which I think is such a great picture, isn't it? If the picture of new birth makes the point that you and I need a miracle if we're going to get started with God, then the person to whom Jesus is speaking at this point makes the point to us. Each one of us, whoever we are, that we need a miracle personally if we're going to be part of God's kingdom. See, Nicodemus, you may have noticed from verse 1 over the page there, was a Pharisee. One of the troubles with the name Pharisee is everybody immediately thinks he must have been a baddie. But actually, the Pharisees were not baddies. They did not dress in black hats and wear masks and have sinister music played when they came on stage and all that sort of thing. No, many of the Pharisees were not actually religious professionals at all. They weren't vicars and that sort of thing. They weren't. Many of them were businessmen and ordinary people, I say, like you and me, except they were highly religious, very devout, charitable, and determined to do good at all costs. And therefore, Nicodemus was among the most decent, upright, highly thought of, respected, religious people in the whole of his country. He was a Pharisee. Now look over the page again, and you will see, oh, well, he's not just a Pharisee, he was also a ruler of the Jews, so he was a top-notch Pharisee. And then have a look over the page to sentence 10. Jesus answered Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel? And you do not yet understand these things. So we're not talking about any old sort of Joe, like, I'm sorry, you're probably not any old Joe. How extremely rude of me. We're not talking about any old person like you and me. We're talking about the chief rabbi, the head honch, the most religious person you could find in all Israel, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, the teacher of Israel. And I take it that's why he came to Jesus at night. He didn't want to be spotted or to cause a stir. And so he came along quietly after it was dark and questioned Jesus about the kingdom. And Jesus amazingly said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter. To Nicodemus. You know, I've tried to think about the kind of person Nicodemus might be in 21st century England. It's hard to make that sort of judgment, isn't it? Perhaps a cross, and you won't agree with me, you know, you'll think, oh, you've completely lost it by comparing him to it, but I thought a cross between Gary Lineker, the Dalai Lama, and Mother Teresa. And Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot have any part. A cross between Baroness Blatch, Nelson Mandela, and Sir Cliff Richard. And Jesus says, no man can enter unless he's born of water and the Spirit. And maybe he is not Sir Mick, as in Sir Mick Jagger, but Sir Nick, CBE, senior partner of KPMG. Or Sir Nicodemus, QC, chairman of the bench. Full of charitable works. He's on Give As You Earn. He contributes to Help a London Child. He is decent, he is kind, he is generous, he's upstanding, pleasantly religious rather than obnoxiously religious. And he comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus says, you must be born. In other words, it'll take a miracle. And let me say, if it takes a miracle to get a guy like Nicodemus, with all his meticulous care about keeping God's law and doing what's right and doing good to others, if it takes a miracle to get Nicodemus in, it'll take a miracle to get me in for sure. So the picture of new birth makes the point of the miracle, and the person Nicodemus makes the point of the miracle. However good we are, however upright we are, however many decent deeds we've got in our kind of moral bank account, however religious we are, we need a powerful work on the part of God to get us into God's kingdom. Well, I think that should leave us, if you're still with us, asking the question that Nicodemus asks in sentence number 4. So if you look at sentence number 4, Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time? In this, actually, the whole graphic imagery of this story does not bear thinking about. But anyway, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? In other words, how can this be? What on earth are you speaking about, Jesus? And the answer comes in verse 5, 6, and 7. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, if the first point I wanted to make was it'll take a miracle to get us in, the second point I want to make is that it'll take surgery to get us in. Spiritual surgery. I'm not actually anticipating, we've got one or two surgeons here this evening, not hoping that they're going to whip out the carving knife and have a quick sort of slice of us or anything like that, but it will take spiritual surgery on God's part to enable you to enter the kingdom. Now, the new birth, do you see it there, mentioned in verse 5, of water and the Spirit? That is a reference to the first part of the Bible, which Nicodemus ought to have known because he'd been in Sunday school and on through and so on and so forth, and he now was a professor of theology. It is shorthand for God washing us clean and entering into us by his Holy Spirit to give us new life. Now, what we've done is just jotted inside your Gospel of John that you've got there, inside the front cover, I've had copied down for us, you'll see, the passage from which it comes in Ezekiel. It's on the cream piece of card there. And There Ezekiel says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. It's God speaking. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Now, the heart in the Bible speaks of the centre, the control centre of my being. It's the place where I make my decisions. It's the place where I do my thinking, where I form my opinions, where my whole direction of life is driven from. So when Jesus speaks of the new birth, he's referring to a powerful breaking in by God, washing us clean, that's the water, and then, and so I use the word surgery, taking out our old spiritual heart that is so reluctant to please God and that sort of drags its feet, and putting within us a whole fresh new heart with a new beginning. Now you can see that this is what Jesus is speaking about from verse 6, where he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, when you and I are born, we're born with no spiritual life in us at all. There is no spiritual life in us when we're born. But it requires a breaking in of God and a heart transplant to give us a fresh new desire to belong to him and to be one of his children. Now I want us to see, therefore, that this is not just cosmetics that we're talking about here. You know, this is not a nip and a tuck or a spot of Botox or a trip to Lourdes, or that's Lourdes, by the way, rather than the other one. That may be a spiritual experience for you as well. It's not a mystical experience. Oh, well, we'll have a one-off, you know, trip off to the east and we'll go on some sort of cleansing experience and then we'll come back. No, it's a radical, total change. That's why I use the word of open heart surgery. We need God to break in. And if you've tried the trip to the east and the kind of cleansing experience, you'll realize it doesn't actually really work. And Jesus is saying, actually, we need a miracle. We need surgery. It was put quite beautifully, I think, by a bishop in the 19th century. I don't expect you've had quoted to you a bishop from the 19th century, but he said this. I think it makes it really clear. It is not merely reformation or amendment or moral change or outward alteration of life we're talking about. It is a thorough change of heart, will, and character. It is resurrection. It's new creation. It's passing from death to life. It is the implanting in our dead hearts of a new principle from above, a breaking in by God into our life. New habits, new tastes, new desires, new nature, new appetites, new judgments, new opinions, new hopes, new fears. We need surgery. We need a miracle. I don't know when the last time you went under the knife was. Maybe you never have. My last experience was about 17 years ago, and I have to say the whole experience was clouded heavily by that wonderful stuff they inject you with just before you head off down to the opera. I mean, I don't know what this. I've been trying to get hold of it ever since, but I suspect it may not be altogether legal or appropriate for a vicar in the Church of England. But maybe you said make my whole ministry rather more exciting. It probably would, actually. But the nurse told me I'd feel a gentle pain. She plunged a needle, I think, into my backside. I was so happy by the time she finished that I didn't really notice. And then from that moment on, they could have done absolutely anything as I floated down to the ward. And then the knife was plunged in. The wound, as it were, was opened up. I mean, I didn't have heart surgery, actually. But imagine, the heart was taken out. And a whole fresh start. A whole new beginning. New loves, new desires. A radical breaking in by God. And I want to say, I think this is a huge relief. I don't know what you thought when you were asked to come to a talk in a floating church on Christianity. I bet you probably thought, oh, well, I expect the dinner will be nice. I like the person I'm coming with, and we'll have to put up with a bit of religion in the middle. We're not talking about religion, you see. This is, I don't know, I've been to so many meetings where I've heard a vicar stand up, or an imam, or a guru, or a priest, and give the equivalent of a sort of John Major back to, actually some of you probably don't even remember John Major, but a John Major back to basics campaign. You sort of, you've all been very naughty, and, you know, we must make a turnover, a moral new leaf, and all the rest of it. No, that won't get you into the kingdom. You can turn over new leaves as much as you like, but you'll find the same old problems. Jesus is talking about being born again, being washed clean, and having his Holy Spirit poured into us so that God now lives on the inside. I've got a fresh start, a new beginning, a new direction. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about therapy. I don't know if you've been to therapy classes where you all seem to carry the same sort of message. Look within yourself, a new program of self-tuition and self-enablement and all this sort of stuff. But you come out of it and you find you're the same old you. Now, we're not talking about therapy. Jesus says, oh, you don't need therapy. You need surgery. And so he promises that he has come to do this miracle and to do this surgery by cleansing us and flooding his Holy Spirit into the life of those who turn to him. And that brings us to our last point. Because inevitably, what I've said so far leaves Nicodemus asking the question he asks in verse 9. Do you see it there? And I hope you may be asking this if you haven't moved on to pudding in your mind already. Verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? How can this happen? How can it be that God can wash me and flood his Spirit into my life? Well, let me say that verses 13 to 15 explain it. And I'm going to be speaking in detail on that on Sunday evening. And I would love you to come back and hear. But let me just sketch out what Jesus says in verse 15. He refers to being lifted up. He gives himself the title the Son of Man, which is the most exalted title any person could ever have. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he says the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. It's talking about the cross. And at the cross, as Jesus hung on the cross, fully man, fully God, he carried God's judgment at everything you and I have ever done wrong. So that if only we will look to Jesus at the cross, we will find the punishment, the judgment for all that we've ever done wrong has been paid already. And therefore we can be washed clean. Once clean, then God can take up residence in my heart. He couldn't possibly take up residence in my heart today. And I know he couldn't take up residence in yours unless you've been washed. Because you're too wicked. And so am I. Jesus says you need a miracle. You can't wash yourself. The things I've done in the past, let me tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. I'm not going to tell you a thing about what I've done in the past. There'll be no revelations. But there are things. Since I've been a vicar, I look back and sometimes I think, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. How could God ever do anything useful through me? I can't believe I'm like that. The wonderful truth of the message of Jesus Christ, that he went to the cross and on the cross carried all God's judgment, all that I've done wrong, so that I can be washed clean and God can come and take up residence in my heart. Now, as we close, come on Sunday, please, to hear more of that. As we close, I can hear somebody saying, look, I can understand that Robert Mugabe needs a miracle and he needs surgery in more ways than one, probably, but anyway, we won't go into that. I can understand that German guy, you know, with the cellar and all the rest of it. I mean, he would need an extraordinary miracle. Or the junta in Burma, the generals. They need a miracle. Me? And therefore, as we close, what I want to ask you to do, if I may, it's a bit of a personal thing. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to say anything publicly. But I want to ask you for a moment to come to the St. Peter's Barge Heart Clinic. And I want you to imagine yourself stretched out here having the electrodes. Do you do this sort of thing here, Marcus? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All the time, every Sunday afternoon, okay? Having the electrodes attached. And, oh, no, you don't get stretched out, do you? You get on a running machine, I guess that's right. And I want you to imagine yourself now on the running machine. And I want to ask, how is your heart really? I looked up the word in the heart in my Bible reference book recently. There are over 1,000 references to it. The heart is the control center of our being. It's what we long for. What we think about, what we might do if we were going to really enjoy ourselves, that sort of thing. The overwhelming bulk of references to a healthy heart in the Bible speak of loving God with all your heart, serving God with all your heart, desiring, delighting, trusting God with a single heart, a united heart, so as to enjoy the benefits of living in his world under his rule. So let me ask you, if I may, Nicodemus, how is your heart? You know, when it comes to the big decisions of your life, what part has God got in that? The place where you live, who you go out with, your life partner, holiday plans, job, career. Is your heart's delight to please God? Or is it something that happens really rather grudgingly? Have you got a heart that has been made new by God? Or actually have you got this old, diseased heart? Jesus said this of people, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come out of heart. Any evidence of these things? There is in mine. Do I need washing? I certainly do. And did I need God to pour his spirit into my heart to give me a fresh start if I was going to have a relationship with God at all? Yes. How good is good enough for God? How good do you have to be? Well, let me tell you, your track record, like mine, is already far too bad ever to give you a place in God's kingdom. You know that, I know that. What we need is a miracle. What we need is a whole fresh start. And the wonderful truth of the Christian message is that Jesus has come to give us that through his death on the cross. And if we will turn to him, come to him, he will wash us clean and flood his spirit into us and give us that fresh start in God's kingdom. You must be born again. Now, Marcus, that's all I think I want to say. I think I've had my time. And what do we do? Eat some more, I guess.
So dessert is on its way, dessert and coffee. So please do take the opportunity to ask any questions that you've got. And the way we do that is anonymously. You've got some slips on your table. So if you've got a question, please do write it down, and then I'll come round the tables during dessert and coffee and collect them and give them to William. And then he will try and answer them. Thank you.